And the majority of the manuscripts that we have, the copies that we have, don't have verse 4 in it. So that's why some versions have it, some don't. It's really not a huge deal. Okay, I just wanted you to be aware of that. All right, here we go. I think the theme that I am proposing today from this text is don't give up hope. And I'll come back to that a little bit later. Don't give up hope. But let's start with the red letters in verse 6. Jesus asked this crippled man, do you want to get well? Now that seems like a stupid question. Here's a man who is obviously crippled, and he's by the pool where people are known to get healed at certain times, and Jesus says, do you want to get well? Okay? He obviously wanted a change, but Jesus asked the question, and it's kind of, if you will, my paraphrase, do you really want a change? Okay? For the past 38 years, this man has been a beggar who lived by the pity of others. And if he is healed, he would lose his income because people wouldn't be just giving him money anymore. In the Middle East, in Bible times, in some places even today, a person who was healed would lose a good living because people see this crippled person, they give him a donation. And I'm told that in some places in the third world, parents are guilty of actually crippling their children so that they can make a living on the pity of others. And even in our society today, with our welfare system, if somebody was healed, they would have to really wrestle with the question of, do I want to get a job and go to work? You understand, there's some questions that have to be answered here. And here's the bottom line. Even with bad conditions in their lives, some people still don't want to change. You see, for some, the idea of change is more frightening than the awful conditions they're already in. You know, it's kind of, I'd rather stay in my terrible condition where at least I know what to expect than to change, because that's unknown. And so Jesus is asking a really reasonable question. Do you want to be made well? Do you really want to change? The bottom line is all of us need some changes in our life. Every one of us. Even after you're saved, you become a Christian, a follower of Christ, we continue to be confronted with issues in our life that need to be changed. Things like bitterness, unresolved conflicts, things that we have hidden away for years. The question is, do we really want to change? So the question that Jesus asked the paralyzed man, the seemed unnecessary, even ridiculous, is relevant for us today. Do we really want to change? And some will say right away that definitely I want change in my life. But sometimes we don't think that change will be required of us. You know, it's like this. Yes, I want my situation to change. Wait. You mean I might have to change? You see how the perspective switches when you put it in that context. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Sometimes when we ask God for something, he doesn't give it to us because he sees what's really in our heart and what we really want. And he says, that's not best for you. So we need to evaluate our motives and decide if we really want change. I guarantee you, God is evaluating your motives, and he knows whether you really want change or not. Then, if we decide we really do want to change, we have to stop making excuses. In verse 7, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And notice that he did not answer Jesus' question. Jesus said, do you want to get well? The simple answer is yes or no. Okay? But he goes another direction. He doesn't say that he wants to be well. Instead, he dismisses Jesus' question and begins to complain about his condition. He tells how unfortunate he is. He lists his troubles. And to be sure, he has some troubles. He does. He's not lying. Okay? But he's whining about his life instead of answering the question that Jesus is asking him, do you want to be made well? And I think sometimes we do the same thing. We whine and complain about our circumstances, but we don't really make any changes that will affect those circumstances. Guilty as charged. Yeah, sometimes I'm there. Sometimes I think we all are from time to time. But once we decide we really do want to change and we get past our excuses, then we have to actually do something different. In verse 8, Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. So get up instead of stay down and discouraged. Do something different. So you're faced with a troubling situation. Are you going to complain about it, or are you going to do something about it? Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Obviously, the man now had a choice. He could listen and ignore. He could listen and hope, or he could listen and obey. And we all have that same choice. God is speaking to us all the time, and if we read the Bible, he's speaking to us, and we can listen and ignore it. We can listen and kind of hope for the best, or we can listen and obey. Do something that he's telling us to do. In his words, take up your bed and walk. The Lord is telling him something very important. Don't make any provision for going back. And many people fail right here. We want to change, and God will intervene in our lives sometime, but then we leave the door wide open to go right back to the way we were. And Jesus is saying, pick up your mat and walk. In other words, burn your bridges. Cut off any possibility of going back. Not only that, but people are going to see him carrying his own mat. And they might recognize him as, weren't you that crippled guy that was by the pool? And now you're up carrying your mat? Here's the point. Your trouble can become your testimony. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Isn't that cool? God has a way of turning our troubles into triumphs and testimonies. I remember I preached a sermon once before about, I don't remember the title, but it was something like this. Every miracle had one thing in common. It started with a problem. Something had to be changed. Something was going on that was not the ideal. There was a problem. And God intervened, and then there was a miracle. So if there's a problem in your life, perhaps it's a miracle waiting to happen. God can do that. Then in verse 14, Jesus sees this man again and he says, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. Now, I'm not going to get into a whole theology of, was it sin that caused him to be crippled or not? There's really no evidence for that, whatever. But I think Jesus is saying, if you sin, you're just asking for trouble. And that is very biblical and right on the money, okay? So the man responded to Jesus. He got up and walked, and he got his miracle. He got it. When he'd been there 38 years waiting for his miracle, he got it, okay? He changed. And now Jesus was addressing a long-term commitment. Now that things have changed, you need to make sure that you don't revert to your old ways. So when you make a decision for God, do something proactive about it. Let me give you some examples. If you struggled with a hidden sin, you might need to find a confidant and make yourself accountable to that person. Don't leave the door open to go back to that hidden sin. If you have unforgiveness towards someone, find them and just bless them in some way to try to overcome that unforgiveness. If you've committed to a stronger prayer life, you might need to set your alarm a little earlier in the morning. Just practical stuff. If you've resolved to stop coarse joking with worldly friends, then you might need to limit your relationship with them. If you resolve to not watch movies that are chock full of sin, then you might actually need to call your cable company. Okay? If a relationship you have is troubled, do something different. And I cannot say this enough. Don't wait for the other person to do something different. You do something different. Okay? Don't make provision to go back to the way it was before. Cut that off and say, you know, God did a miracle in my life. He met my need, and now I am never going there again. Pick up your mat and walk. In Acts chapter 19, verses 18 and 19, a really telling story, says, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. A drachma is a day's wage. 50,000 days' wages they burned because they came to Jesus and they realized that the way they had been living was wrong and they didn't want to go back to it, so they burned it. No way am I going back to that. We need to do that same sort of thing. When we ask for a change in our life and God answers our prayer and gives us a change, then we've got to burn the old way out so we can't go back there again. 1 John 3:6 says, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. You claim to be a follower of Christ, then let's do away with the old ways. Let's stop sinning. Jesus told this man to get up and walk. We're called to walk with Christ as well. Let me just talk about walking here a little bit. We all need to make a decision to walk with Christ. Sometimes we wallow in our trouble and our excuses. Sometimes we waver in our commitments. Sometimes we wander astray. But we need to choose to walk with Jesus. No more wallowing, wavering, and wandering. Let's walk. And this is a command in 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And it's a daily decision, Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. But it's totally worth it. Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And walking involves avoiding some things. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. There are some things that we know are just plain wrong. If we're going to walk with Christ, we have to avoid those things. And then the Lord is right there to guide you as you walk. Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's God. That's the Holy Spirit directing your path. So, if you really want to change, you have to decide. Do I want to change? Or do I just want to complain about my situation? And in my experience, a whole lot of people just really want to complain about their circumstance. They don't really want to change. They just want to complain about it. the shoe fits, you wear it. That's been my experience. Naomi and I do counseling from time to time. And I would have to say probably the majority in our experience don't really want to change. They just want to gripe about their situation. That's sad, and it's disheartening for us. We love it when somebody comes to us for advice and counsel, and they really take heed to what we say and put it into action rather than just they just want to run their mouth for a half hour or 45 minutes while we listen and just complain. Do you really want to change, or do you just want to complain about your situation? You have to answer the question, do you want to be made well? So it's a genuine question. And then if you can honestly answer yes, then you got to stop making excuses and do something different. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, all the while expecting different results. You know, every time I swing this hammer on my thumb, it really hurts. Well, stop swinging the hammer on your thumb. You bonehead. Okay, do something different. And then be proactive and walk with Christ. I think sometimes when we're in a troubling situation, and especially when we feel like the enemy is against us, we put a lot of effort into just trying to keep the enemy at bay the whole time. You know, and there is a place for that, but I think it'd be a whole lot easier to keep the enemy at bay if you're walking with Jesus. Instead of just being on the defensive all the time, get on the offensive and walk with Jesus and do something proactive. Do what you know you're called to do. Do what you know the Bible says to do. Walk with Christ. Now, here's some additional thoughts that go back to the theme that I said, I believe is here. Don't give up hope. In verse 5, you see that this man had been an invalid for 38 years. And you gather from the story that he's been coming to this pool regularly, because it's known that people get healed here. 38 years. And then in verse 9, after Jesus speaks to him, Jesus says in verse 8, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And then in verse 9, at once, the man was made well. 38 years. All at once. You see, don't give up hope. Isaiah 48:3, God himself is speaking and he says, I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them and I made them known. Then suddenly I acted and they came to pass. God said it a long time ago. But then suddenly, it comes to pass. Malachi 3:1, God himself is speaking again, and he says, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Don't give up hope. This man had 38 years of hoping that he could get healed. He went to the pool because he knew that's where he needed to go. In our circumstance, we keep on coming to God in prayer because we know God answers our prayer. And it might not be the immediate response that we're looking for. We might have to keep on coming back and keep on coming back and keep on coming back with our needs before the Lord. But don't give up hope. Because one day, suddenly, God will respond and answer your prayer. Isn't that great news? Suddenly! It's been 38 years. Yeah, but what if God does the miracle today? wouldn't that 38 years seem like it's just, it's done, baby. I'm on to the next thing. Don't give up hope. Whatever your situation, your circumstance is, don't give up hope. God knows. Now, he might ask the question, do you really want to be made well? Do you really want things to change in your life? Because you need to think about all the ramifications of that. If God really answers this prayer, how's that going to change my life? And God wants you to be aware of that and be able to answer honestly, yeah, I want that change. And then stop making excuses. If there's something you can do about it, do what you can do about it. Be proactive. Walk with Christ. Do what you know is right. But don't give up hope. Don't you dare give up hope. God is listening. And when his time is right, suddenly everything will change. I want you to be encouraged with that today. This man waited 38 years, and Jesus came on the scene, and in an instant, his life was changed. Don't give up hope. Let's all stand. Here's what I'd like to do today. I'm just going to close in prayer, but if there's anybody that maybe this message really resonated with you today, would you meet me here at the front? I'd like to pray with you, just to encourage you and talk with God, with you, together. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for the power of your word and the true stories that are there to remind us of your grace and your goodness. Help us, Lord, regardless of our circumstance, to never give up hope. Lord, you are so good. You always have our best interests in mind. Even when things seem like this can't be the way it's supposed to be, you're still paying attention. We know that's true. Help us to remember that. Help us to hold on to that truth and never give up. Lord, if there's anybody in the room today that's been coming to you repeatedly with their need, God, I pray that they would not give up, but keep coming to you. And Lord, I pray that you would hear our heart's cry. I know there are some who are struggling with a variety of things today. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them today. Give them even another sliver of hope, if you will. And Lord, if it's your time and your plan, I pray that today would be the day of their miracle. We know that you're able. So we ask, will you, Lord? That would be awesome. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the power and all the praise to Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. All right. God's blessings on you. Have a great week.